This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there is no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of God shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." May God bless the reading of his word.
Well, good morning. Glad to see you here this morning. A very familiar passage of scripture that was just read for you. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. We are all familiar with that passage, particularly that verse. Even Linus of Charlie Brown's Christmas quotes this passage. And this comes to us in a historical context. To my understanding, there was a usual cycle of enrollment and in the collection of taxes. And that usually took place every 14 years. But according to historians, Augustus, who was Caesar of Rome, and Herod, who was king of Judah, had a disagreement, and a new tax was forced upon the Jews, so that instead of every 14 years, there was this one that came only 10 years prior to the earlier one. This would have caused even more resentment from the Jews to the ruling Romans. So then each of the heads of the household were to return to the tribal family home to register. A significant inconvenience. For what? To pay more taxes. And scripture said that when Joseph with Mary arrived in Bethlehem, the inn was full. This would have been the conclusion of an 80-mile trip that would normally take 4 to 5 days, but Mary being so near her delivery date, we don't know how long it took them. The inn served the purpose of a hotel or motel today. But there was some significant difference. It would have laid out as a wall around the courtyard for protection, for safety, and to contain the animals. For those who couldn't afford a room, they would settle in somewhere in this courtroom with all the activities and the odors that would have been prevalent there. With this unexpected tax, this would have been of great financial boost to the innkeepers as they found their accommodation full. Mary and Joseph arrived, wanting a room, wanting privacy, wanting quiet, wanting some personal space as Mary was about to deliver. but there was no room for them in the inn. Thus Jesus was born, probably in the courtyard amidst the livestock and the commotion there. But God was working out his plan. God was working out his purpose. Caesar Augustus and Herod carried out his plan without any idea that their decision would accomplish the prophecies of Jeremiah and Micah. Jeremiah 23:5, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land." And in Micah 5, probably the most well-known verse we know of in Micah, "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah. For from one will go forth for me to be a ruler of Israel. His going forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity." God was working out his plan. He was working out his plan in his time, place, and circumstance for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the incarnation, the Son of God, to enter into our world. What a startling introduction. The world that he created, laid down in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. I wonder if this paints for us a metaphor, a picture of where he resides today in the lives of many people, having no room for him in the busyness of life. Crowded rooms and empty lives. I would like to suggest how we can abandon this condition and find great joy in Christmas as we celebrate this year, as we would look at some of the symptoms of this syndrome. Let me lead in prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning with gratefulness for the privilege that is ours to be able to gather in this place as we have gathered in your name. How uniquely blessed we are to be able to gather and to sing and to proclaim your truth, to come alongside of one another and be an encouragement and comfort to one another, to understand what it is, even more so, of being the body of Christ. And so, Lord, we would invite you to join us in a unique way in giving us understanding as to how we can honor you better, how we can worship you, how we can celebrate the coming of your Son into our world. Lord God, we would pray that you might meet us today. In Jesus' name, amen. We can get distracted concerning the whole focus of our Christmas celebration. And this can happen when there is no recognition of the Christ at Christmas. The angels announced to the shepherds, "Don't be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. For today in the city of David, there is born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was an appearance with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." I hope that we don't get weary of hearing that message. I remember we staged a Bethlehem scene with the young people in one of the churches that I was involved in. And all the youth groups in the area were invited. We did it in a barn so that there were animals We had Roman soldiers and money changers and a market, a census booth. And off to the side was Mary and Joseph and Jesus. Everyone attending were given a small amount of money to pay their taxes and or, if they so desired, barter for a price of a hot chocolate or the sweets that were available at the market. And I watched as very few people paid any attention to what was going on in the corner with Mary and Joseph. As they sat quietly off to the side, away from all the commotion. Jesus is the universal Savior. He came for all people. But few people recognize or acknowledge him. We want him out of our schools and governments and politics and social events and anthems. We want him out of our group lives. But Christ wants to be Lord of all that we do. Whatever you do, do all for the glory of God, we are told in 1 Corinthians 10. He wants to be Lord of all that we do. I would think that especially would be in the celebration of his coming to earth. He wants to be acknowledged. He wants to be involved. He wants to be honored. This can happen when there's no recognition of Christ at our Christmas. This can happen. Crowded rooms and empty lives can happen when there is not worship of the Christ as well. The story of the wise men show the meaning or give a good example of worship. Jerusalem was the capital of Israel. Not only was it the center of government, but it was the center of religious worship and activity. It still has great significance for the Jews, the Christians, and Muslims today. It seems to be constantly on the news, and even in reference to its religious activity or its claim. Around the time when Christ was born, some magi, some wise men, learned, educated men, left their home somewhere in the east and journeyed to Jerusalem, being guided by a particular star. And they came looking for this king, king of the Jews, for the purpose of which they stated, "We have come to worship him." How do we worship him? The Christ, by recognizing and reverencing him for who he is, yielding to him honor, submitting and being subject to him as to who he is and what he says. When we sing these Christmas carols, I hope that we are not just participating in the audience participation portion of the service, but that we worship, we celebrate, we testify in song with our heart's desire, honoring and praising, glorifying and thanking him for who he is and what he has done. Crowded rooms and empty lives can happen when we have no gift for Jesus. Oh, Pastor, you don't know the situation that I'm in coming into this Christmas. All the expenses, all the things, all the obligations, all the extra costs of Christmas, and all that accompanies that. But let's just stop, pause, and think for a moment. what is Christmas all about anyway? Jesus said in Matthew 6, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Did I say do not store up for yourselves treasures in heaven? Sorry. You know, this is not the first time I've made that mistake. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth and rust destroys and where thieves cannot break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So ask yourself this morning, where is my treasure? Where is the joy of what I am investing in? Again, look at the wise men. We see they presented him gold, or the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gifts fitting for a king. Have you given any thought as to what you would like to give him this Christmas? First of all, I can tell you what he wants most from you is you. He wants you. Have you surrendered your life to him, inviting him to be your Lord and Savior? If you haven't done that, please consider that your gift to Jesus this year. If you have any questions about that, talk to any of the elders. We would love to sit and to share and to encourage you in making that a huge, significant step in your life. If you are already a child of God, why not consider what you can do for others in his name to help those who are in need? To write a card to someone who would just love an unexpected note of encouragement from you? Is there an act of kindness that you can do to be a blessing to others? What will you give him? Crowded rooms and empty lives can happen when we have no time for him. I know life can get and may already be very busy. We live lives with very little margins, with little wiggle room. We seem to pack it in so tightly. And life can get significantly panicky when we lose our date book or day timer or telephone. And we don't know what's next? We don't know what's ruling our lives because we don't have that list of things we're obligated to do. So here's a challenge in this matter. Do you have room for him? Do we have room for him in our world, in our lives, in our homes? Will you make time for him this Christmas? Maybe more than just Christmas. Will you make time for him this coming year, 2018? I don't want to add something else on your already full calendar, nor do I want to guilt you into anything. But I do want to ask you to pause and consider, what is the reason that what all this is about for you? And how are you going to honor and reflect that in your lives? Is Christ being crowded out of your Christmas? Even as Christians, We can easily have empty lives as we cram them with things full, but of little significance. Oh, I know. Visiting Aunt Betsy is important. I know. There's a lot of things that are on our calendar that is important. But let's not let all the important press out all the eternal. If we do, there will be little satisfaction in our life, and even less reward in the next. Why not make this Christmas just a little different? Give him some place, some prominent place, where you will celebrate Christ this Christmas. It's a joyous time of year. I truly rejoice when I hear the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaimed on public radio. And that happens all the time around this time of the year, through the songs, through the carols. Let's not just let it happen. Let's not just let it happen in word, in favorite and common carols. Take opportunity to share the wondrous news of our Creator coming to His creation as we celebrate, as we engage in our celebrations this Christmas. Let me pray. Father, forgive us for the times that we so are preoccupied or so caught up with the busyness and the plans of man that we neglect or even forget you. Lord, what a privilege it is for us to be able to refocus and reprioritize and realign our thinking as to the significance of your coming to earth, the fulfillment of the promises of the Old Testament and the accomplishment, and in a fashion that your prophets had declared it to be so. And so, Lord God, we recognize that this time of year is full of fun and food and getting together with family. And we appreciate and enjoy that. And we don't want to dismiss that. But Lord God, may we not dismiss you. May we recognize the wonderful joy it is for us to celebrate the occasion of this season, that God became a man and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. Thank you, Father, for the privilege that has made available to us to be able to approach you openly and freely, knowing that we are invited into your presence, but not because of anything that we have done, but because of what your Son has accomplished for us. And so we bow before you with gratefulness. May we bow before you with praise and wonder, with great appreciation, with celebration, with joy in our hearts, as the angels herald the wonderful message: unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.